The Business News Hour is made possible through the support of RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts with offices throughout the metro. Learn more at homeconnectusa.com. And the Strudel House Fine Austrian Dining. Ask about the gourmet passport, thestrudelhouse.com.
Welcome back to the News Hour. We have 23 minutes now past the hour of 5 o'clock. 90 degrees. Heat index, we understand, is about 97 out there. Take it easy. In studio with us is Curtis Fett. He's an independent financial advisor with Fett Financial here of West Des Moines. With over 31 years of experience in the financial services sector, we couldn't think of anybody better to come in and talk a little bit about the volatility of the markets, as well as September being Insurance Month. Welcome back to the News Hour. Good to see you again, Curtis.
Thank you, Michael. It's good to see you.
How in the heck have you been, sir?
Very good. Trying to keep cool this week.
Yeah, that's kind of the way it is for everybody, isn't it? Let's first turn our attention to market volatility. This has been just crazy. The other day, as you well know, markets lost, you know, several percentage points. So dropped 1,000 points before the opening, or just at the opening, and then came back a little bit, but still was 300 points down. The next day, we gained 400 points. And so we've seen this shift in market volatility for well over 2 weeks now. And it's been kind of scary for some people out there that are saying, hey, look, my retirement account is in the stock market, I'm into annuities, whatever it happens to be, it's kind of a frightening time. Can you put any kind of order to all this?
I will try. Nobody can really know for sure. But
of course not.
What's interesting, Michael, is last week, even with the big swings in the market, on Friday, the markets ended positive.
Right.
They were up about 1%, but you wouldn't think that would have happened with the big drop of 1,000 points earlier in the week, and then it came back up. And today the market was about flat, up just a little bit. So my clients that I work, investors, I always try to educate them to invest long-term. You know, retirement money is mostly for long-term.
Right.
Don't worry about the short swings because this is normal. We haven't had a correction for over six years.
Mm-hmm.
So we were due for a correction of 10% or more. This is healthy for long-term investments.
One of the things that I've told people for years and years and years, as a matter of fact, when I was raising money for a relatively large corpus in the nonprofit sector, I would always suggest to people, you know, you don't lose any money until you sell.
That's exactly right.
If you stay with it, you'll come out on top if you just stay with it. But if you panic at the first move south, that's when you lose money.
So I like to always quote Sir John Templeton. He's got a great quote out there that is so valuable for today. The time of maximum pessimism, like last week, is the time to buy.
Absolutely.
The time of maximum optimism is the time to sell. That is so true in what's going on with the markets.
Yeah, we just had this story the other day. We were talking about this very thing about the markets. And, you know, for the black cloud that's out there, there were, when the market had fallen that much, there are some pretty good deals out there.
Yes.
And you know, and some of the smart investors are taking a look at that and saying, well, wait a minute now. Let's take a look at the running average for the past year, and if that starts to go below what they all call the death cross, it goes, maybe that's something that we ought to take consideration
of
buying.
Stocks, you know, have been on sale here the last couple of weeks, so it's a great time for a new investor to buy in, or even an older investor that now it's time to add money to their investments.
I would tend to agree with you. Curtis Fett, ladies and gentlemen, from Fett Financial, is in to talk a little bit, trying to put a little bit of a cap on that. I'm glad that you agree with me. You don't lose money until you sell.
That's exactly right.
There you go. All right. So this is the month of September, and September is kind of a special month for another reason. And what might that be, other than the fact that Labor Day is coming
September
up?
Every year is Life Insurance Awareness Month. So I'm here to try to get people to think about reviewing their life insurance. If they don't have any, they should probably get some, especially if they're married and have children.
Mm-hmm.
And what's interesting is 43% of Americans have no life insurance at all.
Is that right?
Yep. Only 57% have any life insurance, and the average that they carry is only $115,000.
Oh, my. So that's really an interesting statistic, Curtis. So that few people have life insurance. But has that number changed over the years? Has it gone down?
It's actually gone down the last 10 years or so. I don't know why that is, but I love the opportunity to talk to people about why they should have life insurance. And a lot of people overestimate the cost of life insurance. And term life insurance is the cheapest form to get going. And a lot of young people overestimate it by 4 to 5 times the cost.
Sure.
A person, I just have a quote here with one of my companies, Cincinnati Life, one of the many companies I broker with. For a male age 30, non-smoker, in good health, he can buy $250,000 term, a 20-year term, for $15 a month.
Yeah, see,
and female rates are even less.
Yeah, and you know, if you're 30, you're starting a family.
Yep.
You know, and those are the times to be thinking about this kind of a thing. When you get older, it gets a little bit more expensive, and that's true. But I wonder sometimes if the fall in utilization of life insurance might be attributable to, you know, it's not marketed the same way as what it used to be. It used to be marketed by a guy like you, you know, who knew people and said could sit down at the kitchen table or sit down in the living room and really spend the time trying to explain all of the benefits of this. And so many companies have gone to the broad format and saying, hey, buy this online, do this online. And I wonder if sometimes it doesn't lose market share because it's so impersonal.
Well, we're finding that because of what you just mentioned, more people still want to sit down and meet with their financial advisor and talk about the different kinds of life insurance, whether it's term or permanent insurance. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to mention, I do walk my talk. I own $1 million of life insurance on myself for my wife and my two teenage kids.
Sure.
My wife's a stay-at-home mom. She works harder than I do.
Yeah,
and
boy.
If I'm out of the picture, I want to make sure they have income to continue their lifestyle and pay off the mortgage. And
you know, one of the things, and I have many friends that have been or are in the life insurance business, and to a person, they've all got that story. You know that story.
Right.
Where the check is delivered.
Yep.
To whomever the surviving spouse is, and which is kind of a sad thing, but at the same time, you know, there's a lot of relief from the individuals that are receiving.
It won't ever take away the death of their loved one, but it will help provide them some relief with an income, a lifestyle they can continue to live on.
Right, and how important that is. Yeah.
And I also want to mention, you know, have you ever heard of human life value?
No.
Human life value is if you're in like a car accident, sometimes the lawyers get a hold of you and they try to settle the estate based on your human life value, which is your annual income times how many years you have yet to work.
Okay.
So a 35-year-old who has 30 years left to work and he's making $50,000, that's $1.75 million is what the attorney will settle for the surviving spouse. And I believe in human life value. And if you have current life insurance, you can subtract that. And if you have other assets, subtract that, and that'll give you the real number. A lot of people think that 2 times their annual income is enough. Hmm. And the industry average is 8 to 10 times is what we recommend.
Mm-hmm.
So if a person's making $100,000, they should probably have $800,000 to $1 million.
Yeah. Now, at what point does life insurance get way too expensive for some folks?
When you get older, you know, life insurance is for young people. They have young families, 20, 30, 40-year-olds. But I just bought a policy a month ago on myself, and I'm 55, for $250,000 with a good company in West Des Moines, North American Life Insurance. And it's a permanent type that includes a living benefit.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to die now to collect on life insurance. It has a terminal illness or a chronic illness benefit, which can be used for like long-term care when I'm older and knocking on the door of a nursing home.
Right.
I can cash in my death benefit to pay for that while I'm alive.
Sure.
So permanent life insurance has a lot of new features.
And there are lots of different twists and turns in the insurance industry. It's always been, you know, you can perhaps go online and buy something, but maybe it might be best to talk to somebody.
Yeah, when you go online, all you're going to get is a term quote. And being an independent advisor like myself, I shop through probably 30 to 40 companies and get the best rates for each client.
Excellent. Curtis Fett, ladies and gentlemen, Fett Financial, thanks for coming by.
Thank you,
Michael.
Talking
to us a little bit about not only insurance month, but market volatility.
Yes.
It's on everybody's mind these days.
Yep.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Curtis Fett, ladies and gentlemen, you can find him at Fett Financial. We're going to slide on. Speaking of the markets, we're going to take a look at what happened today on Wall Street. We'll also have the Iowa 25. Check out the Ag Report and the commodity numbers. All that is ahead of our time with Calista Gould. We'll be talking about manners and culture, specifically cell phones. Yeah. It's a problem among some people. We'll talk about it yet this half hour.